Thank you, ladies, for singing this morning. I refuse. I hope you refuse as well. Sometimes it's not good to refuse, but in that case, most certainly, it would be wonderful. And I'm thankful for that song, and thank you, ladies, for singing this morning. If you have a copy of God's Word, as I said a moment ago, we're going to be in the book of James, if you want to take it and turn there with me. I'm going to start out today by reading at least a little excerpt from an article that I found here just recently as I was going through the news articles on my morning perusal of what's going on in the world. Had a couple of different articles that stood out to me this week that really, I believe, are going to apply directly to what we're talking about this morning. One was in our very own News and Observer entitled, "Gay Kids Were Getting Bullied, So an NC School Called in the Drag Queens." In this story, middle schoolers at Central Park School for Children, a local charter school in Durham, were brought into an auditorium and were lectured, sung to, and entertained and encouraged to be accepting of those with LGBT tendencies and ideas by two drag queens. In another story from CBS News entitled Blurred Lines, the title was Blurred Lines, A Pregnant Man's Tragedy Test Gender Notions, told of an incident where what by all accounts appeared to be a male came to an ER with complaints of abdominal pains and was forced to wait in the ER waiting room for an extended amount of time because the nurses didn't realize that the male was actually a female who was pregnant and having complications. Later, the woman delivered a stillborn baby in that emergency room. Both of these instances reveal to us a serious dilemma that we're in our country today. We are confused. We are confused. If you would imagine a small boat that had drifted off course and was now in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean with no hope of finding its way, you would be pretty close to having a correct view of where we are as a society today. We're floating aimlessly as a society with no bearings, no anchors, and seemingly no hope of ever rediscovering stable ground again. What has happened? How did we get here? That's two good questions that we need to ponder today. The answer, though, to those questions is pretty complicated. But for the sake of our study today, I want to single out one specific cause of all that we're experiencing. The cause of our confusion is that we no longer have a foundational source for right and wrong. We no longer have a source of truth. When there's no definite right and no definite wrong, the result of such is that a society will then begin to call right wrong and wrong right. By the way, this is not a new dilemma. In Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20, the prophet reveals that God's people had a problem that they were experiencing in that day, exactly like the ones we're experiencing today. It says in Isaiah 5:20, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil. They put darkness for light and light for darkness. They put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." As American Christians, we tend to have a list of a few things that we are against. And these things are evil in our eyes and for the rest of the world, but we're apt to embrace almost anything else. Almost anything else. This kind of thinking leads to similar living. And thus the society moves further and further away from God and the truth, then so does the church move as well. And that's where we're at today. I'm going to pause for a moment for my reading to make sure you don't go to sleep on me. If you're with me, say I'm with you. That is exactly where we are today in our church world. We have lost course. We're no longer on the right path. We no longer have a word that's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Instead, we find ourselves wandering aimlessly in a little boat in the middle of an ocean with no hope of ever rediscovering land. That's where we are today. That's who we are today. And yeah, we can point fingers and say, look at them. And by the way, I am not for bullying anybody. Can I get an amen? They don't need to pick on people for whoever they are, what color they are, what they do, or anything else. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake have forgiven you. We're supposed to be kind people as Christians. But the foolishness that followed is probably worse than the original incident. The only reason that could happen in America, the only reason that could happen in North Carolina, the only reason that could happen in Durham, North Carolina, is because we have lost sight of the truth. And we've entered into a world, a sea, if you would, of waves that throw you back and forth, to and fro, because we no longer have truth. We now only have opinions. And opinions, some great theologian said, are like armpits. Everybody has a couple and most of them stink. Amen? Yeah, that's where we find ourselves today. So what's the remedy for this? No, I can't change the people at the Durham School for Children, the charter school down the road. They will never even know I exist, most likely. But what is the remedy for us today? Did we just take this lying down and say, okay, that's just the way it is, and move on? Or do we intentionally do something to change the tide, at least for us, for our children? What do we do? Someone has said, read your Bible every day to prevent truth decay. And they are correct. But truthfully, it goes beyond just merely reading it. And by the way, I'm going to pause for a second and say this. If I could just get the people in our church to read their Bible, I would have accomplished something. Amen? If I could just get you to get you a good King James Bible and put it on the shelf by on your nightstand by your bed, and every morning the first thing you do before you get your coffee, before you get your cell phone, first thing you did is jump right in here, we'd be accomplishing a lot, amen? We'd be getting something done. But the truth is, it goes way beyond just reading it. Because see, if you stop there, then you've missed the good stuff. You've missed the reality. You've missed the truth if you only read. So what is the remedy here today? We have to, as believers in Christ, give this book supreme authority in our lives. It has to become what life is, what I live for, and what I'll die for. It has to be this book this morning. And man, I hope you would all shout amen to that. But we are the hypocrites of all hypocrites if we say amen to that statement and you don't even know what it says. Is that true? Am I preaching this morning? Are we here? That's where we are. We're hypocrites. If we say this is God's word, this is the truth, and this is the thing my life's supposed to be lived upon. When I say turn to the book of Zephaniah or Haggariah or Zechariah or Malachi, and you're like, was that a band in the 70s? You know? What happened? We're in the mess that we're in today. Not because wickedness is anything new. There's always been wicked people from the very beginning. We're not in a mess today because this government's let us down, because it's not the government's job to legislate righteousness. Amen? It's not their job. In America, the way the Constitution is set up, you have a right to be wicked if that's what you want to be. Amen? You do. There's barriers or boundaries, but you have a right to be an ungodly person if you want to. The government cannot legislate righteousness. The church has to believe and live and promote righteousness. It comes from in here, not from out there. And I promise you, the government school is not going to teach it. And by the way, I don't really think this morning that I want anybody in that school taking the Bible and teaching it. Can I get a witness? I don't want them to even touch the Bible as far as that goes. The only reason I want them to have a Bible is because they decide to read to find out who God is and what he has to say to them in their situation. Otherwise, just leave that thing alone, because I don't want you teaching my kid what the Bible says, because you don't know yourself. Can I get a witness? So we fought, man. The nerds are all over here. No, I'm just kidding. This is not my notes, but I want to say this real quickly. We fought tooth and nail that they not take the Bible out of school and that they have a Bible reading time. And the truth of the matter is, God might have been blessing us. Listen to me this morning. Because if they had Bible class at that school, who do you think is going to be teaching it? They're not going to call me to come teach it. Right? No, they're going to get that dude to teach it. And by the way, he is a dude whether he likes it or not. That's what whatever God made you is what you is. Can I get amen? And he's a dude. And I don't want him teaching my kids the Bible. And I don't mean to be ugly, mean-spirited. And I promise you, I would not do anything to hurt a person like that intentionally. But I'm going to tell you the truth. And God's word possesses the truth. And he has told us. He's told us the truth in those situations. And there's no question. We're in this mess because we, as the church, have misplaced the truth. Now, I didn't got excited and spent too much time in the introduction, so I better get going to the sermon. And everybody said, all right, let's get going here. Here's what the Bible says about itself. And I want you to get these verses I'm going to read to you, and then we're going to get in James, and we're going to go on from there. The cause of our confusion is that we no longer have a foundational source of right and wrong and of the truth. Thus, if we refer back to these two news articles that I just read in the beginning, the problem is they don't know the truth. It's not because I don't like gay or transgender people. It's not because those lifestyles make me feel uncomfortable. Is it because we are in the South and Southern boys like girls and girls like boys? No. Is the problem just because of our cultural norms? Is it just because of how we feel when we learn of things of this nature? Is that what the problem is? The answer to all these questions is absolutely not. We must have a much greater and superior source of truth than our feelings, than our culture, and then societal norms. We have to have a greater source in those things. Feelings change, cultures alter, and societal norms shift daily. Therefore, we must have something to hold to that is unchanging, never shifting, the thing that is the record of God's word that will stand, the Bible says, until the day everything else in this world's gone, it will stand. That's what we have to build our lives upon this morning. This is the truth. And nothing else. This is the truth. So, James today is going to share with us how to stay off the slippery slope of truth decay. How to stay off the slippery slope of truth decay. As we begin our study this morning of this passage, we're actually going to go back one verse and catch the verse we looked at last time. Look in James 1. Verse 10. James 1, verse 10, a very important verse to get a phrase out of to understand as we go into the next passage. James 1, I said verse 10, I'm sorry. James 1, verse 17, excuse me. He says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness in the shadow of turning. Now look at verse 18. Of his own will begat he us, with the word of truth. With the word of truth. The very first thing that we've got to grab a hold of here before we get into the next passage is this reality. Listen carefully. We learn here that the source of the good news of eternal life and reconciliation to God is from the word of God. Now let me put that in plain terms so everybody can understand. Take the cookies down to the bottom shelf so even Lily can reach them. Amen? Right, here we go. He's saying there by the word of truth, James is saying to us that you have salvation in Jesus Christ through the word that is the source of truth that God has revealed to us, which is what we call the Bible or the word of God. In other words, James is writing to us and reminding us that you wouldn't even know about God were it not from this book. You get that? You wouldn't even know who Jesus Christ was were it not from this book. You wouldn't even know about a gospel this morning if it weren't for this book. And as I say those statements, I want you to let them bounce around in your brain for a moment, because this book is the source of eternal life. It's the only way to get it. The only way we know about it. Otherwise, we are lost. Otherwise, we have no hope. Otherwise, there is no Jesus, as far as we're concerned, had God not revealed it to us in His Word. This is how we know God. This is how we know how we got here. This is how we know where we're going. This is how we know what we're supposed to be doing while we're here. This is how we know how to be right with God, how to live for God, how to glorify God, and how to serve God. It is all in the book. Can I get an amen? This book's important. It's very important. And James uses that phrase, and I want you to follow me, because here's how things roll here. So just listen carefully. Because the book, it's the source of truth. It's the source of salvation. We would never know Christ otherwise. Because it's all of those things. Then hear this. If it can give me eternal life, can it not also tell me how to live my life? Did you get that? If the book can be the source of eternal life for me, then can it not also be the way to tell me how to live my life? Every true believer in Christ would say, the Bible has the gospel, and I love the Bible, and I love God's Word, and I love Jesus. But how many of us would say, I bring myself under the submission of the Word of God? How many of us could truly say that this morning? What does the Bible say about itself? Hebrews 4:12, for the Word of God is quick, it's alive, and powerful, power-filled, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing of sunder of soul and spirit, and the joints of the marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. In other words, he writes in Hebrews that the Word of God is alive. It's a living book. It's a powerful book. And it's able to divide our very souls apart so that the gospel can shine through and we can be saved. 2 Timothy 3:15. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. The Bible clearly tells us that it is the source of truth and it's supposed to have that place in our lives. If you got all that, say, I got it. So now, what about these three steps that must be taken by every believer if we are to avoid the confusion of this wicked world and live in light of God's truth? What about that this morning? Look in James 1, verse 19. Get into the sermon now. Verse 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren. It's kind of like when I say, listen, honey, talk to one of my kids. I love you, and I'm so proud of you. But, right? But, brothers and sisters in Christ, verse 19, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway or immediately forgets what manner of man he was. But, verse 25, whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein, he being not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. This man shall be blessed in his deed. Now, we want to go this morning from where we are to the man who's blessed in what he does. That's where we're headed this morning, so follow me today. There's three steps today to avoid the slippery slope of truth decay, and they begin right here in verse 19 as James tells us this first statement. The first step to avoiding truth decay is to approach the Word with the proper attitude of heart. Approach the Word with the proper attitude of heart. Now, here's the words James uses here today, and you're going to have to get this. By the way, this passage is packed full of words that draw pictures for us. Now, how many of y'all like a book with some pictures in it? Raise your hand, Dwayne. Yeah, for sure. That's my favorite kind of book, too. And it takes up the whole page to Clark. I'm like, sweet! You know, yeah. But he gives us words here that draw pictures for us. So follow the pictures, all right? If you're with me, say, I'm with you. He says, let every man, first of all, be swift to hear. That word swift means that you have an eagerness. It's kind of like you're excited. I translated it as expectancy. Like you're waiting for something. It's like Christmas morning and you're getting awake and you're waking up as a kid and you're ready to go downstairs and see what Sandy left, you know, or Mommy Claus and Daddy Claus, whoever it is at your house. You're ready to see what Sandy left and you're excited. You can't wait to go downstairs. But Mom and Dad said what? You better not get out of that bed until the sun comes up. Amen, parents? Expectancy. The idea of being quick to hear simply means this, that we approach the Word of God. Let's put this into perspective. We come to church Sunday morning. We come to church Sunday morning ready to receive from the Word of God. In other words, you got up, Miss Carolina, and you probably didn't put on no makeup. You're probably all good. But you got up, got ready this morning, brushed your hair. Hopefully, y'all brushed your teeth and everything. And you left the house this morning, and all the way to church, you were praying, God, I want you to do something special in my life today. God, I would really appreciate it if you would come down to Shady Grove Church and let us hear from you today and experience your presence and do something special in our lives. That'd be exciting, God. I want you to be there with us today. Don't let my preacher be up there by himself. God, be with us today when we come to church. That is somebody who is expecting something to happen when they confront God's Word. And that's what it means to be quick to hear. You ready? You ready? Reality is this. When I texted you if you're in my Sunday school class this morning about 8 o'clock, you were mad because I woke you up. You had to like remove cobwebs, you know, to get your eyes open. And you muddled down the hallway to your coffee pot. And you drank about a half a gallon of coffee. You went in the bathroom and splashed cold water on your face. And you're still barely with us this morning. That's reality. You fought all the way to church with your wife. Amen. You might need to start driving separate. You ain't thought about praying for this service. You haven't prayed one word for this service this morning. I'm going to tell you something. I'm not the smartest guy around, and I know that, and you don't have to tell me, I know that. But it's going to be pretty hard to get something happening here when I saw everybody comes to sit in these pews got here this morning. If you understand what I'm saying, say amen. You're not expecting anything. You're just here out of duty. And by the way, I appreciate it when you come and you serve because you know it's your duty before God, and we ought to have some of that in us. But boy, it's way better to preach to a crowd that's like, what's God going to do today? What's he going to say to me this morning? What is he going to send my way today? How's he going to help me this morning? I want to hear from him this morning. I want to see him do something in my life. Man, I'm praying for my teenager because he's had a bad attitude this week. I'm praying for my wife because she ain't been focusing on God in her life recently. I'm praying for myself because, man, I've had a wicked mind and heart this week. That's not who we are, though. No, we're just going to endure and hope that he don't go too far past 12:15. Amen? That's who we are. You ought to try preaching to those people. Whew. I need a water gun, Clark. One of the super soakers. You know, yeah. Man, wouldn't it be different if when we walked in here, we were excited about what God was going to do. We knew he was going to do. We knew he was going to do. I challenge you. Become that type of church member who's praying and seeking and expecting, quick to hear, slow to speak. Now, this is an interesting phrase. How many of y'all have ever been talking to somebody and they wouldn't even let you get a word in edgewise because every time you try to talk, they just cut you off and start talking again? You ever experienced that before? And you know when they do stop and breathe for a second that they're just thinking about what they're going to say next. They're not even listening to what you're saying. Raise your hand if you know what I'm talking. Can't get a witness? Yeah, yeah. James says to us, if we're going to receive from God's word, and we're going to grow in grace, and we're going to become the people God wants us to be, and we're going to be people who are built on the truth, the solid rock of truth, and prevent truth decay in our lives, we're going to have to learn how to keep our mouths shut. We talk too much. Mm. thought this was interesting. Franklin Roosevelt, when he was president, often endured long receiving lines at the White House. He complained that no one really paid any attention to what was going on or being said. So one day, he decided to do a little test. During a reception, as each person came by and filed by and he shook their hand, he murmured this statement to them. He said, "I murdered my grandmother this morning." The guests responded with phrases like, "Marvelous. Keep up the good work. We're so proud of you. God bless you, sir." It was not until the end of the line, while greeting the ambassador from Bolivia, that his words were actually heard. And without missing a beat, the ambassador leaned over and said, "I'm sure she had it coming." We're good at talking, bad at listening. And God says, listen, if you want to learn truth, you got to learn, number one, how to get ready for it. Be ready, expecting it. If you come to church expecting something, something will happen. If you come to church half dead because you stayed up too late watching Twilight Zone, ain't nothing happening here today. Amen? Expecting, quick to hear, slow to speak, mouth shut. Don't argue with God. Don't overtalk God. You see, the struggle is for many of us, and I'm this way sometimes myself, we're thinking so fast that as we're listening, we're not really listening because we're thinking about what we're going to do or say next. I'm guilty. Anybody else? Keep your mouth shut. And number three, he says, slow to wrath. The picture there is, don't get mad. If I could use a slogan, don't get mad. Get glad. Why? Because if God speaks, you have thank God. Right? When I was a student in Bible college, I was a new Christian, and it was all new to me. I was 19, I got saved, and went to Bible college about a year later, and I got in there, and I was in chapels, and I'm telling you, I was soaking it up. The most exciting thing in my day, three times a week, was I get to go to chapel, and I was just wondering, who is going to be the preacher today, and how good is it going to be? And I was excited, and I'm telling you, God was speaking to me every single, even a bad sermon. You're like, we don't ever hear no bad sermons around here. Even a bad sermon. God would speak to me, and I say, God, you're so good. But you know, I've also been on the other side of that coin since then, in places where I heard preaching. Now, I'm the one talking all the time, but before, when I would hear preaching and good preaching, and I would sit there, and I would endure sermons, and God never speak to me. I never hear from God saying, listen, Tim, heed the word of God. Take this into your life. Let it transform you. I wasn't hearing those things. I was just sitting there enduring sermons. I've been on both sides, and I'm going to tell you something. The good place to be, the only place to be, is where God's speaking, and you can say, woo! Glory, hallelujah. Thank you for speaking to me this morning. Thank you for working in my life. Thank you for caring enough about me to say something to me today. That's the only good place to be. Is that where you're at this morning? God speaking? Is God working in your life? Do you hear that voice speaking to you? Or are you propping your eyelids with toothpicks today? Where are you today? Are you listening? Man, we're good at arguing with God, making exceptions for us. That's wrong for everybody else, Brandon, but it's okay for me. Because God can butt in when he wants to, but you have no authority to butt in when God's talking. Amen? Number one, first step to preventing truth decay today, is just learning how to approach the Word of God in church, in Sunday school, in your devotion life. Approach the Word of God with the proper attitude of heart. Or, I worded it this way, just come ready. Say that with me. Come ready. All right, number two, what's the second step to avoiding truth decay? It's this. It's to cultivate the proper atmosphere in your heart to receive God's Word. Cultivate the proper atmosphere in your heart to receive God's Word. Now, I said some words a while ago and to our visitor today. He's like, what in the world is all that stuff? Well, let's go back because I didn't know what it was either. Verse number 21. Lay apart. That means to remove or get out of there. Okay? Lay apart all filthiness. Now, I got little kids. I got Hannah and Lily. And while back it was raining outside And they made a mud puddle over there where I'm trying to grow some grass. Any other dads ever had an issue in your house? I'm trying to grow grass, and they out there playing in the mud and the rain. And I'm telling you, I went out there. I got pictures on my phone. They were covered entirely, every inch of their body from head to toe, with mud. They were filthy. Say that word, filthy. God's telling us here, you're going to have to get some filth out of your life so I can plant some seed in your life. You got that? Say, I got it. Now, that's not where he stops. He says, then lay aside all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. Now, I'm like, what in the world is that? Kylie, you ever use that word? I don't. I never even heard it before. So I studied this. Superfluity of naughtiness. That word is it gives us a picture. James is drawing a big picture for us. And here's how it was used. It described a person in that day who would go out into their garden. Anybody got a garden? Say amen. Anybody got a garden? Say amen. Okay. How many of y'all at least thought about having a garden at some point in time? Say amen. Okay, yeah, okay, good, good. Y'all just too lazy. You didn't go out there and do it, and it's almost too late. Okay, I understand. Been there, done that. Somebody who's preparing their garden, and before they begin to plant the garden, put the corn seed in or the pea seed or the tomato plants or whatever they're planting, before they started planting, they would go out and they would remove all the weeds so then they could plant the seeds. And I know seed's not supposed to have an S, but hang with me. They're going to get the weeds out so they can put the seeds in. Weeds out, seeds in. That's the picture that this word presents to us. And here's what God's saying this morning. Now, if you're with me, say, I'm with you. So, first of all, we're coming ready. Say that. Ready. Secondly, we are going to come before God in his word prepared with our hearts, the soul of our hearts prepared, so now we can receive from his word. The Bible, and I was going to read some of these, but I don't have time because I'm already over time, so hang with me. The Bible presents to us this picture. The word of God is pictured as seed, often. The word of God is pictured as seed. So in other words, God, he knows us. He knows us very well. He wants us to understand. How many of y'all think God wants you to understand? Say amen. He wants you to know what he's talking about. So he likens it unto seed. He talks about a sower who went out and cast seed all over. And he talks about where the seed landed and what it did after it landed. All of those pictures that the Bible draws for us is to help us understand that God's saying his word is just like some seed that you would go plant in your garden out in the yard. And if you want the seed to grow and produce, you got to get everything ready before you put it in the ground. If you got that, say, I got it. You got to get it ready. So not only are you going to come ready, but now you're going to come clean. Do you get that? What are the weeds? Well, for the Christian, the weeds are just simply this. It's all that junk that you done picked up this week in your life that's going to keep you from hearing from God if you don't deal with it. Do you get that? Got to get the junk out. Here's a couple of things just so you know. Saturday night is primetime TV, and that's when everybody watches TV. But I'm going to tell you something. If you want to be in tune Sunday morning, you better turn that thing off Sunday night. Can I get amen? That's not going to help you. Watching all that mess is not going to help you. Find a book. Go outside and rake in the yard or something. Do something. Get a garden or some chickens, Paul, right? Amen? Get some chickens. Do something. But you got to get the weeds out. So here I am, Saturday night. Early Sunday morning, I'm trying to pull some weeds, you know, like, you know, getting that one out. Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. My attitude stunk this week. I had horrible thoughts this week. You know what? I was mean to that person this week. I've been a horrible husband this week. Just pull them all and get them out because they are going to keep you, listen to me, not me. They are going to keep you from being able to receive the seed of the word of God. As long as your heart is full of sin, there's no place for seed. No place for seed. Someone has said, this book will keep you from sin, or help me with it, sin will keep you from this book. Let me say that again. This book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book. If you come in here full of weeds, the seed are not going to take root in your life, and thus there will be no fruit. No fruit. No fruit. And Jesus said, pull that one up and cast it out because of its fruitlessness. You got to come ready. Number two, you got to come clean. And what's the third step? James tells us here, to prevent truth decay, the third step to avoiding this happening is adherence to the Word of God. Adherence to the Word of God. He draws another picture for us, and as I said, he does this a lot. And in this picture, he says, it's kind of like when you got up this morning. How many of y'all woke up this morning and say amen? That was just a test. Make sure you're paying attention. How many of y'all still not sure if you're awake or not? Yeah, for sure. You got up this morning, just like every morning, maybe a little bit later on Sunday, but you got up. And you go in, probably to your bathroom, and you look in the mirror. And how many of y'all are ever scared when you look at first in the mirror first thing? It's kind of scary sometimes. You're like, whoa, my poor wife, right? And then you go, oh, my breath is rough, right? Morning breath. Y'all know I like y'all don't have morning breath because everybody has morning breath. Kind of rough. And if you're a guy, you brush your teeth and get a handful of water and splash on your face and comb your hair and you're good. Amen? If you're a lady, we begin the process of preparation. And I say process because it's not like a handful of water and, you know, it's not that. No. You start out with toothbrush probably. Then you get some water and try to get everything to, all the wrinkles in the bags to disappear with cold water, right? I know. And then you get your tackle box out, right? Crystal got her tackle box. And you open the lid and you're not going fishing, no. You're going working. You're about to work on something here. You got every kind of paint and blush and blemish remover and everything else in the world in that tackle box. And I don't know what y'all do in there. I don't even know what all happens. I know there's some plucking that happens, some pulling, some painting. I don't, anyway, all kind of stuff happens in there. You got to put the base on, and you got to put the other stuff to cover the base. I don't know why, but you got to cover the base, and you got to put the accents on after you cover the base, and you got to put your eyeshadow on and your lipstick. And anyway, we don't even understand, guys. We don't even understand. But I appreciate it. Because y'all look good. Amen, fellas? That's good. Baby, you pretty. You hot this morning, honey. So you know. That's terrible. What would it be like, though, if you walked in there this morning and you looked and it was all scary? Breath bad, matted eyes, rat's nest in your hair. I don't have rat's nest, but y'all do. In your hair. And you just say, okay, I'm good. And you just come to church. You don't do that. You don't do that. You wouldn't do that. Well, James says, when you come, hopefully you're ready. Hopefully you're clean. When you come in here and you come into a face-to-face confrontation with the Word of God, it's like looking in that mirror and you see it all. But he says, if you're not careful, you'll deceive yourself. You deceive yourself. Now let's read that again. Verse 22, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Here's where the deceit comes in. Listen to me, because we're guilty. I already going to tell you we're guilty before I tell you what it is. Here's the deceit. You're going to, if you're not careful, assume that just because you were here this morning, that you're good to go. Did you hear that? I was here, so I'm good to go. And he says, if that's what you think, just to hear, or you just heard it, and you leave and you think you're good, James says you better be very careful. You're going to deceive yourself. And I'm going to tell you, there's lots of deceit spoken of in the Bible, but the worst of deceit is when we deceive ourselves. So I'm going to put on that this statement. You can't just hear, but you also have to remember. Did you get that? You can't just hear, but you also got to remember. That's why I'm telling you, that's why I like it when somebody has an ink pen. I put pens out there for you, and you write notes on your hand. You want some paper, honey? We'll get you some paper. That's good. That's why I'm glad when I see somebody with an ink pen and a notebook writing in their Bible or on their notepad. Here's why I'm excited about that. Because hopefully she's not going to wash her hand after church. You'll be good, right? Yeah. Hopefully. I'm sorry, Kylie. I shouldn't have picked on you. Hopefully, later on, Timothy don't have no pen out, by the way, just so you know. Hopefully later on they're going to look back and say, man, my attitude has to be right. I got to be ready. My heart has to be right. I got to be clean. And I got to take it and run with it. I got to remember. And I'm going to look over those notes and I'm going to remind myself again this evening before I go to bed. And tomorrow morning, maybe make sure it sinks in. So if I come back and preach the same sermon again, you'll know, Jeanette, because you heard me say, listen, Pastor, you preached that on this date. I got it all written down. Because you remember. Just seeing and hearing is not sufficient. We got to remember. But, Heather, that's not the end of it. Hang on. It says in verse number 23, for if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, what's that word? A doer. Not only do you have to remember it, but now you got to put it into practice in your life. I told you a little while ago, it's exciting when God speaks, isn't it? When he speaks to your heart, and it's kind of like he just came down, and everybody else might not have seen him, but he was here, and you heard him. That's awesome. But after he speaks, then you got to remember, and then you got to do. Because otherwise, you wasted your time. You wasted your time. The Word of God has to become so precious to us as believers that it takes precedence over everything else. It's most important. And it's so important to me that I'm going to make sure I remember it. And it's so important to me that I'm going to submit myself under it so that it can take root. Remember I told you it was like seed falling into a garden? It can take root. And man, once it takes root, then it begins to produce fruit. And that's exactly where we want to be. We want to be that blessed man at the end of the verses. That's the man whose life is full of spiritual fruit. So how's your fruit today? Most of you, for the most part, are here every time. And I'm thankful for that, because it'd be bad to have nobody sitting here. Let's be honest with you. But how is your fruit? Fruit is, as defined here, the Word of God being planted in your heart as you listen to the Word, as you submit to the Word, as you remember the Word, as you practice the Word. Fruit is spiritual maturity growing up in you because of your face-to-face interaction with the Word of God. How's your fruit? When's the last time God spoke to you in church? When's the last time God dealt with you about some sin in your life? Talk to me, guys. Come on. I mean, listen. When's the last time he spoke to you about sin? Because you got sin. You got sin. When's the last time God spoke to you? When's the last time you left church on a mission? Listen to me. And you say, I got something to do. I may not even eat roast today because I got something to do. When's the last time that happened to you? What did I talk about last week? Don't even know. Because we didn't remember. And if we didn't remember, I promise you, we didn't repeat and do. James says, listen to me. The Word of God is supposed to have one of the most important, preeminent places in your life as a believer. And for that to happen, you have to choose. You have to choose to be ready, to be clean, and then to put it into practice. You got to choose that. So my question to you this morning is this. Will you choose to be that kind of church member? Will you choose to fight and resist truth decay? Will you be a person who absolutely refuses to live their Christian life just like everybody else? Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer.